In our last lesson, we had just begun the 27th chapter of Genesis, so I'd like to again read the first five verses of Genesis 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and make me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it. Here we see that Isaac is determined that he's going to give the birthright to Esau. Now remember, we just learned in the previous two verses of the last of Genesis 26 that Esau had married two Hittite women, two Canaanite women. They were women who were not believers in the true God. They were idolatrous women. They would certainly take Esau's attention away from the service to God, or at least divide his service between the true God and their ways. They would dilute his ability to be a leader in the genealogical line from Abraham to the promised seed. And so they highly added to Esau's disqualifications to be the one who would receive the birthright, who would lead the promised line on into future generations. As a matter of fact, we're even told that these two women were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. They were not pleased with these women. They were not pleased with Esau's choice. Esau made a foolish move when he married these two women. It even made him, in the eyes of some, a fornicator, as is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Well, in spite of all of this, though, in spite of Esau's foolish marriage to these two women, in spite of God's instruction concerning Jacob before he was born, stating that Jacob was to be the leader, Jacob was to get the birthright, that he would be stronger than the older, that he would be one that would overcome the older. In spite of the fact that Jacob plainly had a superior character, that he plainly was superior in his spiritual discernment of things, that he had the spiritual convictions much above those of Esau, in spite of the fact that Jacob had legalized his claim to the patriarchal blessing by the fact that he'd purchased the birthright from Esau, and they'd confirmed this purchase by a solemn oath which Esau gave, in spite of the fact that Esau seemed to be absolutely indifferent to his spiritual heritage, he didn't seem to be concerned about the will of God, he was not preparing himself for this position of being the spiritual leader of this family, in spite of all of this, Isaac nevertheless was determined that he was going to give the blessing to Esau. And it seems that the basic reason as to why Isaac was deliberately wanting to thwart the purpose of God was the fact that he had this personal love of Esau, and that was because he did eat of his venison, Genesis 25:28. Now, it's very hard for us to understand how such favoritism on the part of such a spiritual man as Isaac could have been based on such a carnal and unworthy motive as based upon the taste of the meat that which Esau killed and brought to him. And there may also have been in Isaac's mind the fact that there was a contrast between himself and Esau. Isaac was more of an introspective person and non-aggressive. Esau was more of an outgoing person and very aggressive in his hunting and sport. Esau was rough and strong and bold. And he represented the secret desires maybe of Isaac's own heart. Maybe Isaac had wanted to be this kind of a person and it just really wasn't this kind of a person. And maybe he didn't have the opportunity to be this kind of person. Maybe he really had to spend more time being the spiritual leader than to go out hunting. But he could enjoy his fantasies secretly through his son's own exploits. Maybe that's what happened here. But whatever the reason, Isaac decided that he was going to give the blessing to Esau. The blessing which should have rightly gone to Jacob, Esau was going to get instead. Now, as we read here, Isaac was quite old at this time, so that his eyes were dim. He could no longer see properly. His age was definitely over 100, since he had been 60 years old when Jacob and Esau were born, and the sons were now at least 40 years old. Esau was 40 when he married these two wives, and he could have been much older than this. As we study about the time that Joseph was born, and learn that when Joseph was 39 years old, that Jacob was 130 years old, then we see that Jacob and Esau could have been about 75 years old at this time, and Isaac could have been 135 years old. So everyone in this episode was mature. They had enough time to be allowed to know what's right and what's wrong, what's best, have good judgment. And so Jacob and Esau were at least young enough during that age to still be vigorous and have a lot of life left in them. As a matter of fact, Isaac was not near death at this time, as he seems to fear that he was, since he lived to be 180 before he died, according to Genesis 35:28. So here was going to be a solemn occasion now. Isaac was going to give the blessing, he was going to pass on the birthright to Esau. And it was customary to mark solemn occasions by some kind of a feast. And since Isaac had determined that he was going to bless Esau, it seemed appropriate that this solemn occasion should be marked by a feast, which would be provided by Esau's skill at hunting. So Isaac instructed Esau that he was to go out and hunt and kill a deer, and when he would bring him, he could prepare him a savory meat such as I love. Now, the word savory just simply means one that tastes good or smells good. No doubt there was a special way that Isaac liked his meat prepared. Maybe it was cooked on a grill. We don't know exactly how it was cooked, but Isaac liked it a certain way, and Esau knew how to fix it just like he wanted it. It was a favorite thing between the two of them, one to prepare the meat and the other to be able to eat it. But yet it's a sad thing for a believer to be so ruled by his appetite that he actually loves his food and bases important decisions on its availability rather than on other considerations. And of course, Isaac is not the only one since then who has used food this way. It's used quite often that way even today. It's also important for us to note that Isaac was not doing this with Rebekah's knowledge. He wasn't saying anything to Rebekah about it. It only happened that she overheard the conversation, quite likely by chance. Maybe God allowed this to happen this way. That's the way Rebekah knew about it. And so the secretive nature of Isaac's plans can only be explained on the assumption that he was ashamed of what he was doing. He knew that Rebekah would not approve of it. He might have even realized that Rebekah would do all that she could to thwart this and change it and not let it happen. And so he was hoping to get it accomplished before she could interfere. And so he secretly was making the plans with Esau to do this. But Rebekah overheard. So reading verses 6 through 10, "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death." We see here that as soon as Rebekah learned of Isaac's plans, that she acted immediately to prevent him from carrying this out. We believe that Rebekah was a good and faithful wife, and that she would be very hesitant to do anything that would go against her husband's wishes. But she evidently felt that in this case, God's will must override her husband's will. And she may have failed to understand, and perhaps didn't have enough faith to really believe, that God's will would be accomplished whether or not men cooperate in his accomplishment. Actually, if God wanted Jacob to be the one to have the birthright, there's no way that Isaac or Esau or anyone else could change that fact. And it may be that Rebekah was acting here presumptuously, but nevertheless, she did what she did. Isaac's blessing of Esau could not possibly overrule what God had long ago decreed, but Rebekah seems to be afraid that it might. So she resolved to see that Jacob would receive what was rightfully his, regardless of any consequences, and she set about on this bold plan. She made a plan to make Isaac pronounce his blessing on Jacob even while intending to bless Esau. Since Isaac was blind, she would have Jacob pretend to be Esau. And fearing that Jacob might not go for such a plan, Jacob might not be bold enough to go through with this thing, because this was quite a bold, daring plan that they had, she gave him a command. She said, Now therefore, my son, in verse 8, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. She's not just asking or suggesting. She is commanding as his mother, this you do. Do what I command you. And so she told him that he must quickly prepare two kids from the flock, and she would cook them and fix them in such a way that Isaac could not tell them from venison. Now this shows very plainly that Isaac's love for venison was at least partly based on his admiration for Esau's skill as a hunter, and not just because of the taste of the meat, because the taste of the meat itself could be duplicated by Rebekah's cooking skills, so that the actual killing of wild game was not all necessary to satisfy his taste preferences. So Esau's great ability as a hunter was not a necessary thing at all for this family. It didn't protect them, it didn't provide for them, because they could easily duplicate the taste of the meat from two kids from the flock. Rebekah told Jacob that after she had prepared the food, he must take it to his father in Esau's name, so that his father would pronounce the blessing intended for Esau on Jacob. Rebekah appears to have a kind of a naive faith here in the magical powers of the words themselves, in order to believe that God's true blessing was dependent to this degree on their actually being pronounced by Isaac. But nevertheless, that's the way she felt. And once Isaac pronounced it, maybe it could not be undone. And there is another possible explanation for why she developed such a strategy as this, such an elaborate plan to trick Isaac into giving the blessing to Jacob instead of Esau. She might have intended to use this means here, this elaborate plan, to bring to Isaac's attention the fact that he was actually thwarting God's will. Isaac had not listened to Rebekah's feelings on this subject, as she talked about the fact that God wanted Jacob to have the birthright. And maybe he could be brought to see how great his error was if he were forced to bless Jacob in spite of himself. And of course, this was quite a risky thing that Rebekah was doing. She knew that there was a chance that she would permanently alienate Isaac and Esau by this scheme. She knew that it would be only a matter of hours at the most before it would be discovered, and then she would have to face Jacob and Esau both when they discovered what had happened. Jacob also knew this. He knew that this was a real risky thing. And Isaac knew that Rebekah loved him. He knew that he loved her. And if he could be made to realize that God's will was so important that Rebekah and Jacob as well were willing to sacrifice even his own love for it, then perhaps the shock would be the means of bringing him back to his senses and getting to realize his great error. And maybe it would also spare Isaac the almost certain wrathful retribution of God if he were to carry out his own plan. As we study further about this story, we're going to see that actually this strategy of Rebekah's did work out. Jacob got the birthright, and he was intended to have it all along. Esau was never intended to have the birthright, and Isaac didn't do the wrong thing but give him the birthright to the wrong person. And so we can at least give Rebekah and Jacob the benefit of the doubt and assume that they really had a high purpose here and not some low ulterior motive. And as we look at the general context of all of this, we must remember that God never did rebuke Rebekah or Jacob for this plan, but instead he seemed to honor it, and certainly he did go along with the results of it. So now to read further in chapter 27, verses 11 through 17. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she prepared under the hand of her son Jacob. We see here that Jacob did at first balk at his mother's plan. He didn't think this was a good idea to go through with this. And he knew that the blessings would go to him. He knew that Esau did not deserve to have the blessing. And as a matter of fact, he sold his birthright. And he did not want to deceive his father in the matter, though. Also, he knew that his father, although he's blind, he still had a good sense of touch, so that he could easily tell Jacob's smooth skin from Esau's hairy skin. And he was afraid that his father would become angry, would then curse him instead of blessing him, and that would make matters worse than ever. But Rebecca was confident that the plan would work. She knew that it was going to turn out for the best, and so she again insisted that he, as a good son, simply obey her command. And if Isaac did find out, she would explain that it was all her own idea, and that Jacob was merely obeying her. And if any curse was involved, she would receive it, taking the full responsibility. And so Jacob proceeded to follow her instructions. He went out and picked two of the kids and killed them from the goats. He dressed them and brought them to his mother. Rebecca then prepared the meal and made it taste the way Isaac liked it to taste, the savory taste. She knew how he liked his food fixed. And while the meat was roasting, she prepared the skins in such a way so as to make them feel like the skin of a hairy man. In some way, she fastened these skins on Jacob's hands and neck. Then she made him dress in some of Esau's clothing, which had the smell of field on them. Thus, Jacob would both feel and smell like Esau when he came into his father's presence. And all of this, no doubt, took some time, and they didn't know how soon Esau would be coming back with his hunt and would be returning right there to the home. Evidently, Esau still lived with his parents, although he had these two women as wives that made his parents very sad. He had not left home with them yet, evidently. And it was clearly a very tense situation, and once they started out on this plan of action, they were in such a hurry that there was no time to stop and think about it. Rebecca had always been a woman of quick decision and action. As we learned whenever the servant came and asked her about marrying Isaac, she instantly was ready to go. And so she was a woman who made fast decisions. And it seems though her decisions were right. And probably also she and Jacob had often discussed this whole problem and had maybe even foreseen that this very development would come about and already decided what she must do if the time should ever come. Now she was carrying the plan out that she had concocted here, and Jacob is going along with it. Jacob was afraid that his father would think him to be a deceiver. And this needs a little bit of clarification. This word deceiver actually means mocker and seemed to suggest that discovery of the plan by the father would make him seem to be mocking his father's blindness. So Jacob seems to be more concerned with the fact that his father would think he's mocking him rather than that his father would think that he was a liar. After all the preparations were made, then Jacob took the meat. He undoubtedly was very hesitant about this. He was probably full of trepidation. He had a certain amount of fear that they would be discovered in this plan. But he took the meat, along with the bread his mother had baked, and went into the presence of his father. His hands would feel like Esau's hands. His clothing would smell like Esau's clothing. And his meal would taste like Esau's venison. Thus, the senses of touch, smell, and taste would then be taken care of, and the sense of sight was not a problem since Isaac could not see. However, the sense of hearing was still a problem since Jacob would have to speak, and his voice was not Esau's voice. So reading verses 18 through 25, and he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, and sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought wine, and he drank. As Jacob here pretends to be Esau, he spoke to his father. And we know that he tried to speak like Esau would speak as much as he could. And since they were brothers, there were some similarities in their two voices. But Isaac was expecting Esau, and he could smell the dinner that smelled like what Esau had prepared. He could smell the clothing, and so his presumption was that it was Esau. However, the voice didn't seem quite like the voice of Esau, so he asked directly which of the two sons it was. And no doubt Jacob had hoped that Isaac would not question him. He'd hoped there wouldn't have to be a lot of talking. Now there was nothing he could do, apparently, except be as persuasive as he could as he deceived his father. He identified himself by name as Esau. He assured his father that he had taken and prepared the venison that he loved just the way he wanted him to, and that he was now ready to receive the blessing. Isaac was strangely uncomfortable here. The voice sounded like Jacob's, and perhaps he felt a twinge of conscience in that he was preparing to give Jacob's blessing to Esau. So he asked his son to come close so he could feel his hands, and thereby satisfy himself that this indeed was Esau. Rebekah's preparations were good, and the skins of the goats on Jacob's hands did seem indeed like the hands of Esau. Nevertheless, Isaac asked him point blank, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And Jacob said, "I am." Isaac is now more convinced that this is Esau. Verse 25, "And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank." At this point, Isaac is pretty well convinced that this is Esau. Jacob has done a good job of deceiving him. And so he is eating of the meal now, getting ready to give him the blessing. We must close our lesson at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.